जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी।
जामेश्वराचार्य अश्वदर्शत श्री श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर अनंत कोटि वैष्णव प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री वासुदेव गौड़ श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपी नाशी गोवर्धन श्री वृंदावन मायापुर पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथ कलिक पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। Although it is raining very heavily outside, but still so many of you have come. I am very grateful to everyone. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text Number 28. श्यामं सदा पिव्यवयोऽङ्गलक्ष्म्याम् स्त्रीणां मनोज्ञं रुचिरस्मितेन प्रत्युत्थितास्ति मुनया स्वासनेभ्यः तत्लक्षणज्ञा अपि गूढवर्चसम् श्यामं सदापि व्यवयोऽङ्गलक्ष्म्या स्त्रीणामनुज्ञं रुचिरस्मितेन प्रत्युत्थितास्ति मुनया श्वासनेभ्यस्तत्तत्क्षणज्ञापि गूढवर्चसम् श्यामं सदापि व्यवयोऽङ्गलक्ष्म्या स्त्रीणामनुज्ञं रुचिरस्मितेन प्रत्युत्थितास्ति मुनया श्वासनेभ्यस्तद्लक्षणज्ञापि गूढवर्चसम् सदा ऑलवेज अपिव्य एक्सेसिवली वयः एज अंग सिम्टम्स लक्ष्म्या बाय द ऑपुलेंस ऑफ स्त्रीणाम ऑफ द फेयर सेक्स मनोज्ञम attractive, ruchira, beautiful, smitena, smiling, pratyuttita, stood up, te, all of them, munaya, the great sages, swa, own, asanedhya, from the seats. Tat, those, lakshanadnya, expert in the art of physiognomy, api, even, gudavarchasam, covered glories, translation. He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from their seats. There is no purpose, so we'll go to the next verse. Savishnurato atishaya agataya tasmai sapariyam shirasajahara tato nivrittaya buddha sriyardhaka mahasane sopavivesha pujita. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnurat, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Shukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Shukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat. Purport. On Shukadeva Goswami's arrival at the meeting, everyone except Srila Vyasadeva, Narada and a few others stood up. And Maharaj Parikshit, who was glad to receive a great devotee of the Lord, bowed down before him with all the limbs of his body. Shukadeva Goswami also exchanged the greetings and reception by embrace, shaking of hands, nodding and bowing down, especially before his father and Narada Muni. Thus he was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. When he was so received by the king and sages, the street boys and less intelligent women who followed him were struck with wonder and fear. So they retired from their frivolous activities, and everything was full of gravity and calm. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantika Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Avravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashakya Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaurava Puranda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone. I hope everyone
is able to hear behind and online also. Because sometimes they put comments that they are not able to hear. So please make sure that everyone is able to hear properly. So, in these two verses, we can see that Shukadeva Goswami, who is the son of Srila Vyasadeva, he has arrived, and before him there were many sages from various places, various planets in fact. They also arrived, and we can see that how all of them were so eager to hear the glories of the Lord. Because this news had spread without any telecommunication. Today's time, so much technology has developed. Within few moments, one can send message from one part of the world to the other part of the world. Send and receive. That's how our communication has become so fast. But it is limited to only one planet. Only on this planet we can communicate. But here we can see that how the communication had reached to other planets. And in fact, some of the sages are from Satyaloka or beyond that. So we can understand how fast and how efficient that communication was. The Bhuloka or this earthy planetary system is in the middle, seventh planetary system. Bhur, Vur, Swar, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok and Satyalok. So we can understand beyond that there are still higher levels of planets, and there are various sages staying there, and they got this news that King Parikshit is cursed to die within 7 days. And now King Parikshit is now ready to prepare for his death. We can see that who was King Parikshit. King Parikshit was not an ordinary person. He was the king of the planet. He may have some control over one small department or one small temple or organization. And we feel so proud about it, that I am doing so and so. I am the HOD or president or whatever designations we have. And it is so difficult to give up any small position. But here we can see that King Parikshit had to give up everything, all his position, all his family, all his wealth, all the treasury, all the animals in the kingdom. He gave up everything.
And most importantly, he gave us the mentality that I possess something that is much more difficult to give up. Because sometimes one may give up externally, but internally still thinking that I have something, or I was so and so. Still that small trace of pride may be there. Some few chapters before, we were seeing the story of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, he had 100 sons, and during the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all of them they died. And Pandavas became the king. Yudhishthir Maharaj was enthroned as a king of the entire planet. And he was so virtuous, so pious, so respectful towards his uncles and aunt, Dhritarashtra and Gandhara. When he came to power, he did not throw them out. Please make them get darshan properly, sadhu has come. So, somebody please make sure that he gets a proper darshan. So he was, Dhritarashtra was just staying in the house of King Parikshit, King Yudhishthir. And King Yudhishthir was beside Darshan Kishan. And King Yudhishthir had King Yudhishthir, he was maintaining them, and he was not thinking them as liabilities or unwanted responsibilities, that why I have to maintain them, they troubled us for so many years, lifetime, so now I have power and I will throw them out. It was not the mentality of Yudhishthir Maharaj. He was very respectful. He treated them as if they were his own parents. And he was so grateful. He told that when we were children, Yudhishthir Maharaj and Pandavas, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, they took care of us. That was a gratefulness exhibited by Maharaj Yudhishthir. And he was not very worried about maintaining them for many years. In fact, more than 30 years he was maintaining, 30, 35 years. And when Arjuna was sent to Dwarka to find out what is the news, Krishna's news, because they were so attached to Krishna. And then later we know that how Vidura came and he saw Dhritarashtra was still in the kingdom. Vidura came only to enlighten Dhritarashtra. He was insulted very badly by Duryodhan, and he had left that palace. Vidur was trying to give so much good counsel to Dhritarashtra that please give back their kingdom, because it is rightful claim, they have their rights to rule the kingdom. But Dhritarashtra was not ready. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Dhritarashtra was not only physically blind, but he was spiritually also blind, because he could not see the spiritual and from the spiritual angle. So when Vidura came, he started speaking, because everyone welcomed him. They welcome him as if he is the holy places personified. He is a Tirtha, Tirthi Bhuvanti Kurvan, Swantastena Gadabhruta. Tirtha Swayam Vibho, that Yudhishthir Maharaj tells Vidura that you are holy places personified. When sadhu comes, we should understand that the holy place has come. We are not going to holy place, but holy place has come to us. That should be our consciousness. Because the sadhus, they carry Supreme Lord within their heart. And wherever they go, they make that place as a place of pilgrimage. So therefore, we must understand the importance to see from that spiritual perspective. And when Vidura was instructing, he started talking about dharma and whatever he had learned within his exile for so many decades. He was speaking to Yudhishthir, but indirectly he was hinting to Dhritarashtra. And it was very strong message. It was not very easy to digest. It was a very bitter truth he was speaking. And for some time, Dhritarashtra thought that this message is for Yudhishthir, because he is the king and he is instructing to king. But after some time he realized that this is not for Maharaj Yudhishthir Vidura is speaking, but Vidura is speaking to me. This arrow is coming towards me. These instructions are for me. I have become old. I am not able to speak properly. I am coughing. And still I am thinking that I am this king of this planet, or the king in this palace. So it was very, very cutting. Sadhu cuts our attachments from this material world. Sometimes somebody may speak very softly, and or may some allegorical story somebody may speak. Narad Muni especially, he tells so many stories to change the hearts of kings and so many people. And he has really changed the hearts of many, Srila Narad Muni, through his words and giving those examples and stories. The purpose is to change the heart of the person. Purpose is not to disturb the person, not to take pleasure in putting somebody in distress. That is not the purpose of sadhu. He will speak in such a way that the person's material attachment, or at least he understands that I have these material attachments and I need to really work on it. I need to develop a higher taste. Because if I remain attached in this material world, then I will come back again in this material world. Right? So therefore, sadhus, they speak words in such a way that they elevate our understanding. It will help to upgrade our consciousness. Right? That is the purpose of entire scriptures, Vedas, Puranas, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Upanishads. So that is the purpose of the all the scriptures, to elevate our understanding, to upgrade our consciousness, because usually we are in the material consciousness. We are absorbed in the bodily consciousness of life. But the purpose is to rise above from this bodily conception of life, and to understand that we are spirit souls. That is the first understanding one has to develop. And to give up those attachments is not easy. So here we can see that King Parikshit, he gave up all those attachments. First he became detached from his kingdom, gave up his crown. He thought that this crown is a useless burden on my head. Because what is the use of this crown now? I am going to die within 7 days. It will be another burden on my head. Then he gave up his royal dress of a king. He understood that this is just extra burden on my body. Then he gave up his sword, the sword of protection, with which he was going around and protecting all the citizens. King, he was a right king, or he was a very responsible king. He was protecting all the citizens. And anybody who was doing something mischief, he was right there to punish. And we can see that even he had confronted personified Kali. When Kali was trying to beat the legs of Dharma in the form of a bull and cow, Prithvi, he protected, he saved them, and he threw away Kali. He told that you cannot stay in this kingdom. If you want to do this kind of sinful activities, you have to go out of this kingdom. So as long as King Parikshit was there, Kali could not increase his influence. Because he understood that this pious, virtuous, religious king is present, and he will not allow for my influence to spread. So till that time, Kali had not spread. So King Parikshit, he even gave up that sword, considering that it is just extra piece of metal. It has no value now. He gave up his family. He gave up his treasury. So much wealth he had. He was the richest person in this world that time. It is not easy to give up a little bit also. Right? We understand. We can understand how attached we are. Even our mobile is not seen for some time, few moments. We become so restless. Where is my mobile? Where is my mobile? It has become part of our body. So we can understand. One small small gadget we are not able to give up. What to speak of giving up the big, big things? And giving up all that, King Parikshit, he even gave up the thinking that I was the king. Now I am not the king. He gave up that mentality also. Now I am just an ordinary person. Because I don't have anything now. Whatever was there, I have given up. It was all there in the mind that I have something. In fact, we don't possess anything. Everything is a property of God. Isha vasidam sarva. That is, Vedas clearly, directly tell that we don't possess anything. It is given for some time. Okay, you take care of it. You are the trustee. This much wealth, at least for this lifetime. But actually we don't possess anything. It is just in the mind that I have something. I possess these, all the wealth, people around me or people under me, family, relatives, right? We call them relatives, not absolute. They are, right? They are relatives. They are there for some time. And they will change. So therefore, that is not our absolute relationship with anybody. So therefore, this material world is so designed in such a way that we need to understand what is higher level, who we are actually, what is our real identity, who are our real absolute relatives. With whom we are really connected, right? So that is the purpose of life. And therefore, we have to rise above to that level. Because as long as we are in this material world thinking, in the temporary designations, we will suffer. I mean, we will have relative happiness, we will not have absolute happiness. So King Parikshit is exhibiting that now it is a time to take up the process seriously. We can take up process anytime seriously. Depends, not like force that now you have to chant or you have to seriously. Or process is given. Okay, you chant, and we also think that yes, we have a lot of time. And of course time is given, a lot of time is given to us. And in fact, just like Parikshit Maharaj was given that notice of 7 days, all of us have been given notice. We must understand. It may not be 7 days or 7 months or 7 years. But Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Jatasi Dhruvar Murti, Dhruvam Janma Murtasya, that one who has taken birth is sure to die. Right? As sure as death. And one who dies, he will take birth again. Right? So we have taken many, many births and we have died many times. Right? Many, many, but Krishna explains very clearly, natve vaham chatunasam, natve janadeva. We have taken many births and we have died many, many times. But to again die, we become so fearful. We don't want to die, right? Because death is something which is very scary and which we feel that everything is taken away from us and we are suffering. But here King Parikshit Maharaj is exemplifying how to face death. Because if we solve that problem, then all problems of our life will be solved. If you are prepared for that final exam now, then when that exam comes, we are ready. Right? Why we become fearful of any exam? Because we are not prepared. Right? We are not prepared properly. And we get so much scared. Now, I will not pass, I will not get good marks, I will fail. And everyone has that fear, and I am sure many of us have gone through that exam time and everything. And we can see that even in exam time, what happens? 3 hours exam paper is there, right? Sometimes 3 hours or sometimes 4 hours. And after 1 hour, one bell rings, right? Ring, something like that. So we know that 1 hour has passed and we have no less time. Then after again 1 hour, again ring, right? So we as students understand that now only 1 hour is enough to start writing fast everything. And then one warning bell comes. And how is the warning bell? Tring. More intensely, it is giving more awareness. It is telling that now you have only 10 minutes. Whatever you want to write, quickly write. And paper will be taken away. Somebody will come and pull away that paper from your hands. Cannot write anything. Right? Everyone has gone through this exam. So we must understand that even the life is giving us that warning bells at different times. 50 years. That is like the first warning bell. Vedas explain, Shastras explain that this is the first time. 50 years when one should start preparing for vanaprastha. Nobody likes to hear this kind of word. But they take that average 100 years we may have in this Kali Yuga. Fortunately, somebody lives for that long. Is considered to be very fortunate and very old person. 100 years somebody is living. So 50 years they tell that, okay, now you start getting prepared. One can prepare early also. No problem. You are ready then. But 50 years, like officially, Srila Prabhupada explained that you are officially becoming old. Jara starts coming. So officially one is old at 50 years of age. And in after 10 years, another bell, Shashti Purti, we celebrate many, that we have become 60 now. It's like a big milestone we have reached. But it is not how many years we live. How many years are left? That is more important. Srila Prabhupada, as a guru, acharya, he explains that somebody may be 5 years old. But if he is just going to live for 2 years, then he is very old. Because he is going to die very soon. But if somebody is 60 years and is going to live for another 20 years, so he is not that old actually. So, we don't know also that when we are going to die. Here King Parikshit was given a definite notice. At least you have 7 days at your hand. 7 days just go quickly, right? We just remembered last Sunday, previous Sunday. Weeks and weeks are going so quickly, we don't even realize. But King Parikshit, he took that seriously. And of course the third bell comes at 70 years. We must understand it is urgency now. It is now, whatever after 70 we should take as bonus. Right? At least during this time. Because 70, 75, 80 max. Beyond that we are not hearing people are living for that long. So therefore we should understand that now our time is very less. And especially everyone must have realized during pandemic what was happening, right? It was as if we are going to die any time. Right? There was no guarantee that we will live for many days, months. It was so much anxiety and pressure. We are taking so many precautions to save ourselves. Which Shastras explain, Bhagavad Gita explains that there is always pandemic in this material world. And what is this pandemic? This pandemic is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshana. Birth, death, old age and disease. These are the ultimate problems of this material world. And they will come to anybody, everybody. Nobody is exempt from that. Even the richest person, even the wealthiest person or the strongest person, the beautiful person, very knowledgeable person, very renowned person, very famous person, all of them, they are going to get this. Nobody is safe. So therefore, there is an awakening or there is a instruction from scriptures that now we must take this process seriously. We have got the human form of life and now it is a time to understand, to make inquiries. Kathopanishad explains that Uttishta Jagrata, Uttishta Jagrata Prapya Varam Nibodhati, that now one should rise or wake up. One should wake up. Means we are sleeping. Grossly also and spiritually also. And therefore Shastras explain that one should wake up and take the process seriously. What is waking up? Waking up means to become more serious about spiritual life. Means to understand that this human form of life is very precious, very important. And only in this life, not in animals species or bird species or tree species, one can make inquiries. But in human form of life, one has been given that higher intelligence. That is the right time. That is the proper consciousness. When one has to make those inquiries, to understand who we are, what is the purpose of life, what happens after we leave this material world, means what happens after we die, what is death, these are the inquiries one should make, because it is going to come to everyone. I cannot say that it will not come to me, I will be exceptional in this case. No, it is going to happen. And King Parikshit, he is exemplifying, he is showing by his own example, although he was a king, how to prepare for death. As a king, he is setting an example that he was performing his duties towards all of his citizens properly. He was doing perfectly his duties. Everyone was properly following everything. They were well protected. Now at the spiritual level, he's performing his duties to set an example. How to face death. And that way he is helping all the citizens. Because we need personal examples. We may speak theoretically many things, or we preach many things to others. But the real preaching is to our own self. We should follow in our own lives. Then that preaching will have more impact. We are not following and we are just preaching, telling others that you become serious, chanting, we should chant attentively. But we are not ourselves chanting attentively. What is the use? We may give a lot of lectures, but we are not following, then it will not have any use. So therefore, we need to set an example. And unless somebody sees that example, that will not change the heart of the person. So King Parikshit is setting an example that even at this stage, when I am facing with death within 7 days, now I am taking this process seriously. I have only 7 days. And I have to take the process seriously. I have to become absorbed in hearing and chanting. Right. He perfected his life by hearing. Shravanam. He was so much attentive in hearing that he forgot eating, sleeping, drinking. He was so thirsty that he was disturbed by the thirst. But now he was not disturbed. Because he was hearing Krishna Katha. That Krishna Katha was entering through his ears and reaching to his heart. And that was giving so much satisfaction, so much happiness, that he was above the bodily conception of life. He was not thinking that I have some biological needs now. He was above everything. And another thing was that the curse was such that he was going to die from a snake bird, right? That poison is going to enter in his body. Now we may be hearing and we don't have any anxiety of somebody coming and biting us, some snake bird or something. But we can just imagine that similar curse is given to us, that one small insect will come and bite you. Or scorpion will come and bite you. We'll be so much focused on that, right? Instead of hearing the kathas, we'll be so much focused on that misery. We'll be so much disturbed by that small thought. But Parikshit Maharaj was not disturbed. He had transcended that. He was above all those things. And therefore we can see that how much wrapped in attention he was here. He was very wrapped in his attention. He had not that fear. That even he had declared that whatever that snake bird or magical thing this Brahmana boy has created, let it come. If I had to face that, I will face it. If I had to die like that, I don't mind. But let me not divert my attention from hearing and chanting. Let me become more absorbed in hearing and chanting. That was the determination of King Parikshit. And therefore we can understand that this is so important, that how attentively one should hear, because that hearing will purify us. Lord is also watching us, that how we are hearing as a deity form, as He is standing there directly in front of us, and as Paramatma also He is watching all of us, that how much serious we are about taking the process of Krishna consciousness. As soon as the Lord detects that we are serious, we are sincere, and we don't have any ulterior motive, then we will be directed to the right person. And here we can see that King Parikshit, he was given that curse. Now he developed that determination that I will perfect my life. I want to understand what is my duty at this time. I am going to die, that is sure. But what is my duty? What must I do? And that desire is detected by the Supreme Lord. He can detect all our desires. He understands everything. Veda ham samatitan, past, present and future, everything he understands. What is going to happen in the past, what had happened in the past, what is going to happen in the future. He understands everything. But when he detects that desire, that he has, this soul has a desire to understand what is the goal of life, or why these miseries are coming, who am I, what is death, when these type of queries come, then the Supreme Lord directs that soul to the right person. And therefore it is explained that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. That is how this transcendental system works. Srila Prabhupada explains that I met my spiritual master, my eternal spiritual father, by the transcendental system. And he was grateful for that. When he met his guru first time, he was in the freedom moment. India before, almost 101 years before, Srila Prabhupada met his guru, 1922. And that time we know that what was happening in this country. Of course we are not there, but we have heard what was happening. And the entire country was behind getting Swaraj, freedom. We should get freedom because we are conditioned. We are under the subjugation of British rule. And we should have our own rights, our own freedom. And if these people go out, then only we can practice properly. We can take up the process of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was also at that time, he was in that mode. And one of his friends, Narendra Malik, he requested, please come. There is a nice sadhu here. Please come, we'll meet him. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, what is the use? I have seen so many sadhus in my childhood. And they do so many things. And so like that, he was not so much interested in going and meeting. He thought that he's another sadhu like that. But Narendra Malik, he insisted, no, you must come. And he kept pulling him, till they reached that mud. And then when Srila Prabhupada first went to see his spiritual master, first time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarup Thakur Maharaj, as he was offering the obeisances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarup Thakur Maharaj said that you should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and preach in the Western world. Now, this was very shocking and surprising to Srila Prabhupada, because he didn't know Srila, his Guru, Eternal Guru. He was thinking that how can he tell me these things? I mean, I'm not qualified, I'm having my family, and how does he know? And then he started arguing that we should get freedom first and like that. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarup Thakur Maharaj said, no, what is the urgency? Krishna consciousness is the urgency. It cannot wait. Now this country is under subjugation, somebody is ruling. After some time, other party will come, they will rule, right? They will keep changing. But the common person's life doesn't change. The ground level person's life doesn't change at all. And therefore, one has to take this process seriously, Krishna consciousness. Because that is our original consciousness. If that is revived, then we are freed. We are freed from all these material designations. We are freed from the cycle of birth and death permanently. And that is what we are actually looking for at the spiritual level. And then we can see that how Srila Prabhupada later on recalls that he is meeting with his guru first. And then he tells that I was very happy to be defeated, because he gave me this understanding that Krishna consciousness is the urgency. It cannot wait. And we can see that what happened. One soul takes to Krishna consciousness seriously, there is never a loss. Not only that soul gets benefited, but because of that soul, so many others, they get benefited. And we can see that how Srila Prabhupada, he took that process seriously. At that time he was not able to immediately join his mission of his spiritual master. But he was always thinking that how to fulfill this instruction. And we know that how many times he met his guru. Very few times, not too many times. And we know that how Srila Prabhupada, he even traveled to Mumbai. In fact, he came in this area many times. For your information, there is some research somebody has done. And behind this Babulnath Road, there was small Gaudiya center was there, 1933 or 34, around that time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarup Thakur Maharaj also had come, and they had kirtan at Babulnath Mandir. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was always thinking that whom to send to West. And he was always planning, and he had come to Mumbai because Mumbai had become westernized that time. And Mumbai is something which was close to West. So therefore he was thinking that let me send some of my disciples to West from Mumbai. And in fact he had sent one sannyasi, he had sent from 1934 or something. 1933-34, sometime around that time. But somehow there was not much success. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj was discussing with his disciples that whom we should send. And they were suggesting many names, this sannyasi, that sannyasi. And we must understand that Srila Prabhupada had not taken sannyas that time. He was still having his business as a grihastha. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj said, Abhay Charandi. He will go to West. So that was a prophecy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had so much faith in him that he will go to West and give the message of Lord Chaitanya. And later on we see that Srila Prabhupada had travelled in these lanes, roads and many things. He was trying to connect with people, trying to help in his Guru's mission. And then later on we know that how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, he met him another time, second time on the banks of Radhakund. And he gave him a second instruction. If you ever get money, you print books. That was another very tall order he got. So, after a few months or something, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he passed away. But these two instructions, Srila Prabhupada was always carrying in his heart. He was always meditating how to fulfill those instructions. Because that is his Guru's mission. His Guru desires that way. And then we can see that was in 1936 or around that time. And then he was trying to help Gaudiya Math in many ways, but things were not happening properly. And then we understand that how Srila Prabhupada was trying his own best alone, started Back to Godhead magazines in 1944. He was trying to get a place in Jhansi, League of Devotees, but that was also, he didn't get that place. And then the famous family issue. His wife was not cooperating, so it was a very common problem, I think. So he had written some purports on Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and he was trying to print that. And he had gone out, and then he came back and he saw that these manuscripts are missing. And he was quite disturbed that what is happening, where it has gone. And he asked his wife, and what she did, she sold that for tea biscuits. Dip. So he was thinking that what has happened. So he was disturbed and he asked, you want tea or me? And she said, tea. That was the end. And then we know that Srila Prabhupada decided that it will not work out. I have to become more serious. And then he left home. It's a big, very big risk, big decision. At that age, I think he was 54 or something, leaving home alone without any money. He didn't know where to go. He just left. He understood that now I can't stay here. Because I cannot fulfill the instruction of my guru like this. I'm not getting support at all. Right? And then he went. And then we know that how he was inserting some Gaudiya Math, he was staying for some time. And later on he went to Vrindavan and then he kept writing alone. He was at the Rupa Goswami Samadhi Mandir, he was Damodar, Radha Damodar temple. He was writing and he was always praying to Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Shad Goswami, trying to get their mercy that please help me to fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master. Because without the mercy of Guru, one cannot make any progress. One cannot achieve Krishna just by worshipping directly Krishna. One has to go through Guru. And Srila Prabhupada, we can see that he was so much focused. He didn't have money, he was struggling with money and all. But he did not give up those instructions. And then we understand that how on several occasions Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj came in his dreams. And he told him, please take sannyas. He was horrified. Srila Prabhupada was horrified that time. He mentions that taking sannyas, giving up everything, going alone, depending completely on the Lord, wearing saffron clothes, it's not easy. And he was thinking that how can I do this? But then he went to, I think, Gaudiya Math in Mathura, and there he was inspired by other his godbrothers who they told that yes, you must take it. You are qualified. You are writing so nicely. And it's our Guru's mission. And that's how Srila Prabhupada, he took sannyas, and then we know that how he went to US, America. And then he had written this first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes. And that was only hope he had. He was not thinking that he is carrying the books of Bhagavatam with him. He was saying that I am accompanying Srimad Bhagavatam. I am accompanying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, I am not with Srimad. I am not carrying Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srimad Bhagavatam is carrying me. That was the faith he had. And then we must understand this, the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. The originally how this has come to us. Shukadeva Goswami, he has narrated this Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And of course Srimad Bhagavatam has been existing before that also. But that was a time when 7 days continuous Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And we must understand that how this Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavat Saptah has become famous. Bhagavat Saptah has developed some kind of branding in today's time. There are so many saptahs, 7 days. But actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that it should not be done like that to get money or just like a ritual or something. He wanted Srimad Bhagavatam to be discussed every day. Every day he instituted as a part of the morning program. Devotees must discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful that it will change the hearts of the person. Whatever material conditions we have, attachments we have, it will gradually go away. And we will develop a higher taste. We will develop attachment towards Krishna. What King Parikshit achieved within 7 days, even we achieve 70 years, that is a success. Right? We can't say that also because we don't have that taste. But we can try, at least we can try. That at least become, take the message of Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. So therefore, mercy of Guru is very, very important. And as soon as one has that desire, then Guru comes in front of you. And we can see that King Parikshit had that desire to hear, to understand. And therefore, so many sages came because they knew that there is some transcendental discussion, Krishna Katha is going to happen. And we should take the advantage of this. They were really advanced, very, very, at a very, very advanced level devotees. Rajarshis, Brahmarshis, Devarshis. So many of them, they came. And they were not saying that, I am the one who is going to speak Bhagavatam. There was no competition between them. When Shukadeva Goswami came, they unanimously agreed that let him speak, he is more qualified. Srila Vyasadeva was present. Srila Narad Muni was present, his guru. They were all maybe global GBCs or something like that. So they were very, very elevated level. And they were not like fighting amongst themselves. I will speak for one day, you speak for... they were very happy that let Shukadeva Goswami speak. He is the right person. He has that deeper understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. And King Parikshit also, he accepted Shukadeva Goswami. And what was Shukadeva Goswami? What was he doing? He just as a came, and some people were, some boys were throwing stones at him. They were ridiculing. And they thought that he's a mad person. Because he was totally at a different level. He didn't have any clothes. Of course, it's a very, very advanced level. And they thought, there is a mad person. Why is he moving like this? But let us beat him. Let us make a fun of him. And that's how people judge. One time I saw one sadhu behind. He was just sleeping alone at the roadside. He didn't have anything. He was just sleeping with his little bit of belongings. And some boys came and just smashed him, disturbed his sleep, and ran away. And this sadhu, some other, he just tolerated and just sat. And so I was thinking that how this sadhu has been tolerating. I mean, anybody can come and beat him and make fun of him. And Shukadeva Goswami also was treated like this. And he was oblivious. He didn't mind. Because they were innocent. He thought that they are innocent. They don't know. So that was the background. We can understand that Shukadeva Goswami was eternally liberated. He was, right from his birth, he was liberated. He didn't stay at house of Vyasadeva, his father, thinking that my father will mentor in me nicely and I'll become the next. He didn't have any kind of attachments like that, aspirations. And he came, as soon as he came, everyone got up from the seat. Except Vyasadeva and Srila Narad Muni, because they were elderly to him. And there was no need for them to get up like that. And that way, everyone respected him. They honored him. They gave him the exalted seat, that please sit here. And Shukadeva Goswami was not thinking that I am going to speak now. I will change the hearts of all of them. Shukadeva Goswami, I mean the Parikshit Maharaj is nothing for me. So he was not having that type of pride. In fact, he was thinking that I am representative of my father, Vyasadeva. This is Vyasagaddi or Vyasasana. Anybody who sits here is representing Śrīla Vyasadeva. And I'm just repeating the message of all the previous sages, my father. So I'm representing my father, Vyasadeva. So that mood, that consciousness is very important. And he was not thinking that now let me prove that I have a king as a disciple. He was not having that pride also. Because he never stayed at some place for a very long time. But he said that till the time the cows were milk, he would stay that time and immediately leave. Maybe that this was the first time he stayed for such a long time. And gave Bhagavatam for 7 days and seven nights. So we must understand that these stories which are coming from the pages of Bhagavatam are not ordinary. They are very, very relevant in today's time. Because all of us have to face that. And when we develop that attitude, that consciousness that I need to become serious. Because what is our consciousness? That is more important. It is not important what type of service we are doing. It is important in what consciousness we are doing service. It is not important where we stay, whether somebody stays in Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Sannyasa Ashram. But it is important where our consciousness stays. That is important. It is not important what color of dress we have there, or what is the color of our skin. That is not important. Somebody may be black or white or brown. That is not important. What is the color of our consciousness? That is more important. Have we developed Krishna consciousness? So therefore, Śrīla Prabhupāda, he has given us this process. Otherwise we would not have got this Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, right? He took so much trouble to write. Nights he was translating dictaphone, and now we are getting this ready Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. Earlier there was no kind of difficulty we were getting. They had to write manually. They have to go to somebody who will explain Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. But now we have got so easy access. So therefore we must take this process of hearing Śrīmad Bhāgavatam series. And of course tomorrow is Guru Purnima, Vyas Purnima, and Śrīla Sanatana Goswami's Disciplines Day also. And of course yesterday Gopinath Chandra Prabhu has very nicely explained about Sanatana Goswami and how Śrīla Sanatana Goswami has been considered as a very prominent Acharya Goswami in our parampara. And his contribution to Gaudiya literatures is also very unique. And we must understand what difficulties he had gone through to join Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's very, very interesting. And Of course, the time is very short. I will not go too much in details, but quickly some few pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, we know that how he first met Lord Chaitanya along with his brother Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Anupam. And I think that time Jiva Goswami was also there, younger, his nephew, at Ramkeli. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed them, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, to leave this service of Nawab Hussain Shah and come to Vrindavan. I'll be reaching there, you come. Srila Rupa Goswami was able to immediately give up, but Sanatana Goswami was not able to give up his service. But later on he tricked that person who was prisoner, jailkeeper, and then how he escaped, that's a very, very interesting story. And he reached to Patada, where that he was staying in that hotel, and there he had his servant Ishan had 8 gold coins, and he gave that to that hotel innkeeper. And then he went ahead, he reached to Hajipur, where he met his cousin brother Shikanta. There also he wanted him to stay, but he said, no, I will not stay here. Then he reached to Varanasi at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar Acharya that please go outside and bring that Mahabhagavat inside. But he said, he came back again and said that there is no one. He said, again saying that you find out again, is there somebody? He said, yeah, there is one person. He looks like a dervish, very like a hippie person, Srila Prabhupada explains. And he said, yes, same person, you bring him inside. And that was Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showered so much mercy upon Sanatana Goswami. And later on, Sanatana Goswami, he renounced everything, he went to Vrindavan, and he was staying there. Lord Chaitanya instructed before that 40 days, and he instructed that you excavate all the holy places of Vrindavan, establish deities, write books, Sadachar Paddhati, Vaishnava Toshani, Dasham Charit, Hari Bhakti Vilas. So these books are written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. And then we know that he was worshipping the deity of Sri Madan Gopal. The Madan Gopal deity also was very interesting, that how it came to Srila Sanatana Goswami. This deity was originally installed by Vajranath in Vrindavan. And lot of Mughal invasions were there, and because of that they had to hide the deities underground. And Madan Gopal also was hidden underground somewhere. And we know that how Srila Advaita Acharya, he was traveling to Vrindavan, and he was staying under different trees, and at one place he was staying under one Vata Vriksha. Still that is famous as Advaita Vat. And there it was revealed to Advaita Acharya that there is a deity below this. And he excavated and found the Madan Mohan deity there. That's how Madan Mohan deity first again came back. And then Advaita Acharya was worshipping, and then he had to leave Vrindavan. So he entrusted that worship to one very nice Brahmana, Purushottam Chaube. And he was worshipping that deity. Then later on, Sanatana Goswami, when he was doing Madhupari from door to door, when he reached to the house of this Purushottam Chaube, Lord told Purushottam Chaube that please hand over me to Srila Sanatana Goswami, because I want to be worshipped by him now. And like that, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he had this deity of Madan Mohan. And he was worshipping him like a small baby boy. And he constructed this temple of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan at Dwadashadipati. And there we know that how Madan Mohan was, Madan Gopal was performing so many pastimes there. And we can see that how this temple is so famous that same replica of this temple has been built at Govardhan Eco Village. Right? It is so prominent. It is so inspiring. And same, similar standard, similar life-size deities and same heights of the temple. Almost the same. So we cannot visit Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan, then you must visit at least Govardhan Eco Village. So I think now 11 o'clock and everyone is really very, very hungry for prasad. So I will stop. I think Venkat Bhatta, your Venkat Bhatta, Venkat Bhatta Prabhu ki jai. Actually, I should have told the story of Venkat Bhatta. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India where he was staying in the house of Venkat Bhatta. Chaturmas, tomorrow Chaturmas is beginning. 4 months he stayed in the house of Venkat Bhatta. And son of Venkat Bhatta is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also has contributed so much to Gaudiya literature. So it's a great contribution. So we will welcome Venkat Bhatta Prabhu in our traditional style by loudly chanting Hari Hari Hari. So anybody has any questions or comments? Mike, is
Hare Krishna, that was a beautiful class. And if you could just enlighten me about the existence of Srimad Bhagavatam. You said Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit, and before that also it existed. So if you could just tell me a little bit more about the history and the origin of Srimad Bhagavatam.
That will be another Bhagavatam class. Srimad Bhagavatam has been existing since beginning because Lord Brahma spoke to Srila Narad Muni in 4 verses. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. But these Bhagavatam verses are more like they are like Vedanta Sutras. They need explanation. Lot of explanation need. But in concisely, Brahmaji explained to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni could understand that. So Srimad Bhagavatam has been existing like that. Even on the, I think, other planets, heavenly planets, higher level planets. It's not just this Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. But I think it is something millions of verses something. So Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha. It is a glorification of the Lord. And it has been existing since beginning of creation. And devotees, they glorify the Lord. They may glorify in concisely 4 verses also they can glorify the Lord. They can glorify in 18,000 verses or they can speak for millions of verses. So it is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam is like a cotton, piece of cotton. You compress it, it becomes small. You expand it, it expands more and more. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. pure devotees can speak for hours and hours the same shloka. Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, he spoke the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for many, many days. Because we need a lot of explanation. If you start speaking very intricately, then we will not understand. Original Bhagavatam will not understand. It needs a lot of explanation. We need to prepare our consciousness. We need to practice more. Then we will start getting some glimpse of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is purity required? What is that level? What is the taste for hearing Krishna Katha? How purely we should hear? So that will come by regular hearing. When you regularly hear, then we will get that test. So this was maybe the first time again so much Bhagavatam was spoken, 7 days. And before that, Narad Muni explained to Vyasadeva, and then he had that everything in his mind. Then during these 7 days, Suta Goswami was present there, who later on repeated the same Srimad Bhagavatam to sages of Naimisharanya, thousands of sages. And Srila Vyasadeva was also again present. So Srila Vyasadeva, he then later on, he scripted everything. So that's how we have got this Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, that parampara is there. There is parampara. And Krishna spoke to Brahmaji. Originally Brahmaji did tapasya. And then that message came in his heart. Tene Brahma Ruda Adhikavai. He got that instruction within his heart to do the perform the tapasya. That's how it has come to us. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Then we'll stop. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada. Thank you.